My grandfather was a mystery to me. He immigrated to America from Eastern Europe.
I remember in my heart when you said we had to part. Now my dreams are fading in the blue, 'cause I'm still in love with you.
My mom said that he had a very hard life. His English wasn't very good, and when I was a kid, we didn't have much of a relationship. Unfortunately, he died when I was young. I never really got to know him. Decades later, I was scrolling through my Facebook feed and came upon a post featuring a song that my grandfather had written and performed. I was blown away. My late grandfather was a musician and a songwriter? I had to learn more before it was too late. This podcast is dedicated to discovering my grandfather and the musical side of him that I never knew existed. This is My Grandfather's Secret Life in Music.
I'll be loving you till the day.
Welcome to My Grandfather's Secret Life in Music. I'm Jason Morris. In this episode, we do something different. We take some time to focus on my grandmother. Unlike my grandfather, my grandmother has been a huge part of my life. She's also my connection to my family's history. Unfortunately, her body and mind are starting to fail, and it's time to pay tribute to her. I will interview my brother about our grandmother's impact on our lives. We will also talk with my mother about my grandmother's amazing life, including the time her country was invaded and occupied by the Nazis. All this and more on My Grandfather's Secret Life in Music. My mother, Pamela, told me about my grandma's past in France.
Grandma was from a little town called Cernay in the area of Alsace in France.
My grandmother, Denise.
It was a strict Catholic family, and it was a simple life. We went to church every Sunday morning. We wore our Sunday clothes. We had clothes for school, clothes to wear after you came home from school, clothes for Sunday Mass. Actually, we had to have the clothes made to order. There was a dressmaker as our neighbor, and I remember her measuring me. And they made their own clothes, but you had to buy the material, my mother, and it would cost a lot of money then.
My mom again.
She was, 10 or 11 when World War II broke out. Her father and brother fled their hometown, leaving my grandmother, Josephine, my mom, Denise, her brother, Joseph, and her sister, Georgette. In their house, and they had to flee because during World War I, he was inscripted into everyone had to be part of the German army, and if you didn't, you were shot. So he fled at that time. So he was considered a traitor by the German army. When the Germans came in World War II, he had to leave. And then George, my mother's oldest brother, was probably 20 or 21, so he would have been inscripted. So they both fled into the Vichy, France, and they went to Clermont-Ferrand. And I believe that's where he was a translator. He translated when the Germans and the French would speak, they would meet, he would translate then.
My grandmother, Denise.
My father learned a lot because he could speak German fluently. And he learned a lot of the secrets when they were going to invade or do something. And he would give all that information to the French. They called it a maquis then. It was like soldiers, but they were not in uniform. It was a secret service, like that was called La Résistance. They fought by themselves from the Germans.
Wow. So your father was like a war hero.
Yes, he was.
My mother again.
Frank and I went with Grandma, which was a great wonderful trip to Cernay to visit her home. We saw her house. I have all those pictures. And she showed me where she went to school and where the nuns used to make the lace and how the boys went in one way, the girls the other, and it was all nuns and priests that taught them. But when the Germans came, the nuns and priests disappeared and they had to learn German, and all families had to have a soldier in their home or two. I think they had two in their house, and they at least gave them food. And prior to that, it was all farming. It was, her mother used to take in clothes to wash and think about, I mean, they were poor, but like my mother said, in Cernay, in the country, in Alsace, you had food, whether it was potatoes or you could dig things up, you know. And also, you got to remember, they just had been through World War I, so nobody, when the Germans invaded, they did not want to fight. I mean, they were just, you know, tired of war.
My grandmother, Denise, in her own words.
We didn't want to war the people. They say, why don't they just take all those politicians and put them in a ring, you know, like boxing? Let them fight it out between them, because they're the one wanted the war. It wasn't us, the people.
Isn't that always the case? The politicians cause the wars, and then the ordinary man has to pay the price?
Has to die for it, suffer for it. Yeah, exactly. That's what happened. Yeah, it was terrible.
My mother again.
She remembers the German soldiers. And she remembers one time teenage boys had put excrement on Hitler's picture. And so the Germans then rounded up all the teenage boys and shot them because of that.
Wow.
So Grandma lived through a lot of this stuff. That was really horrendous. But then Grandma, about a year after her father and brother left, the Red Cross got them. And Grandma says she went by train to Clermont-Ferrand. And she said she remembers when she saw the Mediterranean, she thought it was the ocean because it was so big and blue. So the war went on for 5 years. They lived in Clermont-Ferrand and they were always hungry. They were always cold. They only brought their coats, one set of clothing, and they had a roll-up mattress, and that was it.
Wow.
After the war, she said her father started drinking, and her parents started fighting. She said he had never drank before, and he was really just horrible. So the mother went back. Grandma Josephine went back to Cernay with the two youngest. And Joseph and George, her older brothers, stayed with the father. But Grandma, you got to remember this. So this is the war and everything's destroyed and there was no food, nothing. And so NT offered to take Grandma to America. And Grandma was like, I'll go. And that's how she went.
Auntie was the one who sponsored her?
Yes. Her name is Marie Guth, G-U-T-H. And her husband was Emil. They were quite a couple. We would see them. They used to come up in a big pink, I think it was a Cadillac. They used to come up from New York with their dog Cutie, who was treated better than all of us. She was very religious, very Catholic, and actually stole Alan and had him baptized without my parents even knowing.
My grandmother again.
She always bossed me around. I could never say or do anything without her telling me what to do. That's the way she was. She was a very bossy person. She thinks she knew everything and you couldn't tell her different. She ruled my uncle like that. He never could say a word, the poor man.
My brother Shane shared his thoughts.
You know, I've tried very hard throughout the years to soak up all of these stories. And I try to do the same with my kids and telling them about Grandma, where she came from, and showing where her little town is in France on the map so that I can start the work now of passing that history on. Because, you know, once that generation goes, it's gone with them forever. And then you just have these little bits and pieces. And I think knowing their histories, knowing what they went through, can help explain who they are as people and also helps explain who we are as well.
Yeah. What's your best memory of Grandma?
You know, We talked about how Uncle Alan came to visit me when I studied abroad, because I studied abroad my junior year in England. Well, Grandma also came to visit me too. And she came for, I think, a week. And we went around to different spots in England. So we visited all of these different tourist spots in England together. And I think how incredibly lucky and special it makes me feel to this day that Grandma came all the way over to visit me and took this opportunity while I was there. And it was just the two of us, right? Mom wasn't there and there were no other grandkids around. And so I got to have this special time where it was just the two of us and we laughed a lot. You know, Grandma is incredibly funny and incredibly sly. One time when Mom and Frank were living in New York City.
Frank, our stepdad.
Yeah, Frank, our stepdad. Grandma would come and visit and she'd be there for dinner. And I was walking around in New York and people in New York leave all kinds of crazy stuff on the sidewalks. Junk, pieces of furniture, an old TV, artwork. And so I saw this painting that was left, you know, like on the sidewalk, obviously meant to be thrown out. And it was terrible art. It looked really bad. So I thought, it'll be so funny. I'm going to take this painting off the sidewalk and pretend that I bought it with my hard-earned money as a present for Grandma. I presented it to her at dinner that night. And I said, Grandma, this painting, I saw it and it reminded me of you. It's so beautiful. And, you know, I spent my money on this and I want you to have this beautiful painting. And I'm playing this trick on her and I give it to her and she goes, oh, Shane, it's beautiful. I love it. And she's going on and on and on about how gorgeous the painting is. And anyone would look at this painting and know that it was terrible. And the more she goes on, she's like, you spend money on this. Oh, sweetheart. And I'm thinking the whole time I'm feeling more and more guilt. And I can't believe I'm playing this practical joke on Grandma. And then as I'm about to reveal, I'm saying, I have to tell her, I can't keep this up. She cracks this smile and she knew it was a joke, that I was playing a trick on her. And that she was, you know, playing a joke on me and stringing me along as long as possible in the same way I was doing it for her. And I love that story. I mean, it's, you know, we had another aunt and uncle who had this dog whose name was Cochon, which in French means pig. And another dinner with Grandma, and I'm eating or something, and she says in French, you know, she calls me a la petite cochon.
Oh, so you knew.
And I said, oh, Grandma, really, you think I'm a little pig? And she bust out laughing. She was hysterical and I think turned bright red because, you know, she didn't think that I knew what that meant. And so she was busted. She thought that was hilarious. I mean, you know, Grandma's everything about her is amazing, from her story of coming over here to how hard she had to work, how her cooking is such a big part of my memories, how I loved going to her house to eat. And I remember one time you and I went there to visit her and she had made us BLTs.
Oh, yeah. Do you know, I was actually going to mention that story. That day, she's like, oh, I'm sorry, I don't have anything for you. And then she's, you know, making BLTs. I'm eating multiple BLTs and she starts making all these amazing side dishes and she had dessert. Like, she really was great at just showing her love, right?
Well, when, you know, and you said the multiple BLTs, and what she would always do was you would eat one BLT and she would just, as you're eating, she's saying, is that enough? Is that going to be enough? I haven't even finished yet. And one BLT is more than enough for anybody. And by the time you're done, she's placed a second BLT on our plates. And now we're eating, and but they're so good, so we eat another BLT. But she was always wanted to make sure that we had enough, that we were happy, that, you know, I think she expressed herself a lot through her cooking. And when Uncle Alan and I went to France, we stayed with her brother, George, and his wife, Marianne. And our first meal, they put out this spread, and it immediately reminded me of Grandma. And I could see where this came from Grandma's upbringing and the way they did things in France and the variety of food and the types of food and how much food there was. And they were always saying, is this enough? And then giving you more. And it was all delicious. And, you know, every dish was better than the last one. And that's a big part of, you know, we'd have these big meals at Grandma's house at that long dining room table. And the food was so phenomenal. And my friends from high school would come over, and we would go upstairs and Grandma would cook these meals for us. And she loved to do that. And I think got a lot of joy and took a lot of pride in her cooking. And I was always proud of that because she is such a phenomenal cook. And it's kind of fun to be able to share that with my friends.
It's just those kind of little things. I mean, you know, Grandma's the type of person that when you walk in the room, you go in and visit her, she makes you feel like you're the most important person in the world. And you can also tell that she is so happy that you are there, you know, and that's an extraordinary thing, like kind of the opposite of her husband, our grandfather, but just an extraordinary woman.
Really an odd couple, right? They say opposites attract. That seems to be the case here because she is fun-loving. She's very vocal. You know, she loves to talk. She loves to tell stories. She's very affectionate. She's an open book in a lot of ways about her past and sharing these things with us, and loves history, right? Loves to read history books. And
oh, she's so smart, right? Like, she didn't go to college. She didn't have that opportunity. But just a smart woman as far as, you know, the things that she knows, and always amazed by that.
And I also think of looking at the two of them together, I have not a single memory of him talking to her. Do you?
Not really. You know, we saw Grandpa late in his life, and we've heard all of these other different things about him. You know, maybe he was a lot different before, you know, we were really old enough to know a little bit about him.
That's such a great point. And Grandma always speaks very highly of him and with great affection to this day. And so there is this other part of, what did they talk about? You know, what were their experiences, especially when it was just the two of them, or when they were young parents, or
yeah.
But man, I would love, you know, that's another, to be a fly in the wall of Grandma and Grandpa. They've got a bunch of little kids in cribs. They've just worked really hard. Maybe he's been working on the house. He's added, you know, started building the next level up, and she's worked all day taking care of the kids. And then they both kind of crash into bed at night. And were they too exhausted to even talk?
Yeah.
Or did they lay there and chat about things, about their dreams, their hopes? I'd love to know all of that and to know what that would have been like.
One of the most priceless links that we still have to our family's past is our grandmother. Are you afraid that that link will be gone soon?
Well, yeah. I mean, obviously, we've always been very close with Grandma. She was a part of our lives on a regular basis. She's so sharp and so witty, and so fun to be around. And she still loves to tell stories. You know, her memories and what's still really intact and really strong is stuff from her more distant past. And so I hope that her kids are, you know, soaking it all up, and, you know, and you're doing this by talking to her and talking to everyone else. And, you know, Grandpa recorded his song and now you're recording this, and it etches it in stone. It becomes a piece of history that now can't be lost, that can be passed around, that everybody can listen to and you know, learn from and get a glimpse into the past, you know, or answer some questions maybe.
My Grandfather's Secret Life in Music is written and produced by Jason Morris, all rights reserved. Music by Nikki Kerr and My Grandfather Tony. Please visit our website to hear all of our episodes and bonus material, including photos and documents that help bring his story to life. www.mygrandfatherssecretlifeinmusic.com.
I remember in my heart when you said we had to part. Now my dreams are fading in the blue, 'cause I'm still in I see.